Hi, and welcome to the CPC Podcast, Episode 1 for August 5th, 2018. Not everyone. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. Stick around after today's sermon for news from CPC. With that being said, let's go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Jay Kwok.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Today we are facing once again most provocative and controversial yet well-known passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Throughout the sermon, our Lord has been teaching us about the life of kingdom citizens. It begins with a description of the disciples, such as blessed are poor in spirit. He told us that we are blessed because we mourn for the sinfulness of our spirit and the world. We are blessed because we are meek, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemaker. Christ also says that his disciples are the salt and the light of this world. He did not say that we need to be the salt and the light by doing something. He said that we are already the light and the salt of this world. So he commanded us, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, your Father in heaven. We are to reflect God's righteousness to the world around us. We need to be careful about the order of this teaching, though. You are who you are in Christ already. Okay? So you live according to your identity. That's what Jesus is talking about. You cannot be a disciple of Christ by your own merit or your own work. But by the grace of God, you are who you are already. And God called you and made you his own. And so, he wants you to live a life that is suitable for his children. That is the will of God for you and for your life. We do not need to prove our own worthiness. We just need to live life that is in Christ. Does it make sense? Okay. Yet, because of our sinfulness, we doubt. We say, is this enough? Am I enough? As an answer to such a doubt, Christ gives us then the discussion of the law. Jesus tells us that he is the fulfillment of the law. Though through his sacrifice of love, he had fulfilled all the requirements of the law. You do not need to do anything more. Jesus is sufficient enough, and he invites us to live a life that is in him. Okay. To give us this idea what kind of life that he expects us to live, Jesus then gives us the teachings about the high standards of God's law. He says, anyone who says, you fool, to his brother is liable to the hell of fire. If anyone looks at a woman with a lustful thought, he has already committed adultery. Such high standards of God's law prompt us a question, how can I keep up with such high standards? Jesus asks, and then Jesus says, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? The key to the holy life is to trust the Father. Today we are facing another difficult question. God chose his own. God calls his own. We are the ones who are called. We know that, or we believe that. Yet there is this doubt still. Am I really called? Am I in that number? Am I accepted? In Romans chapter 7, 21, Paul says that those who confess the name of the Lord Jesus are saved. But here Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a chilling statement. We all need to listen to this message with a solemn heart. There are teachers out there who teaches us universalism or universal reconciliation. These teachers say that since God is love and merciful, all will be ultimately reconciled to God. All will be in heaven eventually. I understand that the thought of people will be tormented and eternally in the fire of hell make us feel uncomfortable, but if you put too much emphasis on his love and mercy only, then the grace of God loses its meaning. Grace can be grace only when there is demand for justice. Are you with me? Yes, God is love. And at the same time, God is God of justice. Jesus clearly tells us that only a few, not many, will be saved in the verse 13 and 14 of chapter 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is the wide and the way is the broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there who find it. I'm not trying to scare you this morning, but we ought to be careful with our thoughts and mind. The wrong doctrines can lead the people of God into the dangerous path. Universalism is wrong because the Bible, the Word of God, says that not everyone will enter the kingdom of God. So, who are those few? Who are the ones who can enter into the kingdom of God? Am I in that number? You see, I've been a Christian all my life. My mother was already a Christian when she had me in her womb. Okay. So she carried me to the church even before I was born. My father was a pastor. I grew up in a church. I did not worry about my salvation back then. In fact, I did not even think about salvation. Calling Jesus as my Lord is so natural to me. And everyone around me called Jesus Lord. And I have been a member of the Good Presbyterian Church of all my life. And I now even have a privilege of being a minister. I lead the worship, I study my Bible, I pray, I sing good Christian songs. Now, does this mean that I have a first-class ticket to heaven? Then I have faced up with this passage. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. I had a chill, y'all. Every time I see this passage, I feel some sort of electrical shock goes through my spine. I've been calling Jesus my Lord all this time, then this. Every time I read this passage, I have to ask myself, am I a real thing? Am I real? Am I doing the will of the Father in heaven? Are you doing the will of the Father in heaven? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 28 says, let a man examine himself. The context here is the Lord's table. Paul tells his fellow Christians to be true when they attend the fellowship of Christians. The Lord's table is a symbol of our fellowship in Christ. It is the gospel that we see and touch and taste. Through the Lord's table, we are united into the body of Christ. And every fellowship we have are different form of Lord's table. Okay? Like a dinner we had together yesterday, last night. Okay? Every time we meet as a Christ followers, we are attending the Lord's table. Okay, does it make sense to you? And the Lord's table is for those who are, only those who are truthful in Christ. So every time we present ourselves into the fellowship of Christ, whenever you come to the church, whenever you attend the worship, okay, whenever you have fellowship with other believers, we ought to examine ourselves, our hearts and mind, and ask this same question: am I truly a Christian? Those who will be admitted into heaven are the ones Jesus recognizes as his own. Those are the ones who go into the narrow gate. They are the true Christian. Let that be the challenge to your heart this morning. Are you a true Christian? Are you real thing? Now, what does that mean, doing the will of the Father in heaven? Are we talking about legalism all over again? Are we talking about the work now? Many Christians understand this passage as it is about the good works of Christians. Many believe that when Jesus was speaking of doing the will of the Father, he was talking about the obedience to all the Father has commanded. Thus, those who do the will of the Father will be people who live godly and holy life. Isn't it what Jesus talked about, will of the Father? So people try to keep up with all the law. Do this and do that. And sometimes they go, no, that's not the way. You cannot do that. Don't do that. So there are do's and don'ts. And by doing that, they try to prove their own worthiness of themselves. Question is, how much is enough? Can your good works outweigh your sin when Jesus gives us such high standards of the law of God? Remember the Jesus teaching on the law? One little condemnation against your brother and one small lustful thought. Your work will never satisfy the justice of God. What does that mean? What does that mean doing the will of Father then? This is what Jesus says in John 6, 28 to 40. Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the work of God? They're talking of the work. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. May I have an amen to that? So they say to him, So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our father ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to him, truly, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe, and that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all of that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And myself will raise him up on the last day. Do you see what is going on here? Doing the will of God, doing the work of God, means that you believe in him who he has sent. It is not about the work. It is not about the law. It never is about what you do. It is about whom you believe. It is about believing in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in him and love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength? Or are you just giving lip service? That's what Jesus is talking about. Is our worship a lip service? You are confessing his name as your Lord. But does your heart truly believe in him? That's the whole point. Are you merely confessing his name with your lips, or do you believe in him with the whole heart? Examine your heart this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Examine your heart. Do you trust in him? A person who trusts in Christ alone obeys completely the will of the Father to believe in Jesus Christ alone for eternal salvation. Such a person obtains absolute perfection before God, since Christ takes away all of his sins and gives him his righteousness in exchange. And such a person can be 100% sure of his salvation, since he can know with certainty that he has done the will of the Father once and for all. You see, building the house on the rock is not about your work. It is about where you build your house. Are you building your life? Are you building your faith life? Are you building your salvation on the sand, or are you building it on Jesus Christ, the rock of our faith, the rock of our salvation? That's what it means. True faith in Christ brings you to the wonderful place of God, a wonderful place of peace. True faith in Christ transforms your words and action and leads you into the path of righteousness. True faith in Christ lets you experience God's presence and his amazing power wherever you go. Wherever you are, and whenever you are, and whatever kind of situation or circumstances you are in, and when you are, and even when you are under the persecution, Even when you are in the hardship, and even when you are in the lowest place of your life, you still see the glory of God and glory of the coming kingdom of God. That is the faith. Do you still wonder who can be saved then? I know we have this doubt in our heart. We talked about it this Sunday morning Bible study this morning. Doubt is not bad, okay? Doubt is not a bad thing, okay? We all have doubt in our heart. Okay? I have my own due of doubt too. Okay? But right kind of doubt brings us to the place that we can seek and find the truth of God. It actually helps us to grow in God. So we have this doubt, and we sometimes ask ourselves, am I saved? And let me tell you this one thing, my friend. You can. You can be saved. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simple as that. Do you still have doubt? Are you still afraid? Come to Jesus and ask for his help. I want you to join me a prayer. This is one popular prayer. Many evangelists shared this prayer with his fellow Christians. So I'd like to share this prayer with you this morning. It is a simple prayer. Prayer itself does not have a power to it, but it will help us to go to the place of examining our heart. Okay? It helps us to face our true self so we may bring that true self to the Lord. Okay, let us pray. I will read the one sentence, and I ask you to repeat each sentence after me. Okay, let us pray. God, I realize I am a sinner. Repeat after me, please. And could never reach heaven by my own good deeds. Right now, I place my faith in Jesus Christ. As God's Son who died for my sins. And rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Please forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you. Thank you for accepting me and giving me eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you forever. May you and your life and your family be filled with the joy of the Lord. May you have an assurance of salvation in each moment of your life.
Next week will be a special episode of the pod, since it will be Pastor Jay's last Sunday with us. Remember, you can find us 24/7 at centralprespb.com. If you like what you've heard, please like and subscribe and leave a review. It helps people find us. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. I hope you have a great week.